Hey there,
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Jessica, and this is All Things Sensory by Harkla. Together, we're on a mission to help children, families, therapists, and educators live happy, healthy lives.
We dive into all things sensory, special needs, occupational therapy, parenting, self-care, and so much more. In each episode, we share raw, honest, fun ideas and strategies for everyone to implement into daily life.
Thank you so much for joining us.
All right. Are you doing your holiday shopping?
Probably. And maybe you don't know what to get. Maybe you have a sensory kiddo in your family. We want to share some of our favorite products from Harkla that we know kiddos would love to see under the tree this year.
So the first one is the Compression Sensory Swing. This is one of our most popular products that everyone in the family can enjoy.
Mm-hmm. We also highly recommend the weighted blanket. We have multiple sizes and weights available. They're so soft and so heavy and so calming.
Now, if you want to go the other direction and want to do the compression sheet, we also have amazing compression sheets in a variety of sizes that provide that deep pressure without the extra weight.
Going along with the compression sheet, we also love the body sock, which is like a compression sheet, but a mobile version. So your kiddo can get into it and climb in and push against it and just relax and get that deep pressure proprioceptive input in a different way.
And then we always, always say that the Harkla Hug is one of the most fun products we have because you can use it in so many different ways.
Yep. So you're going to head to harkla.co/holiday to save on these products right now. That's harkla.co/holiday.
Okay, let's jump in.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of All Things Sensory by Harkla. You're listening to Rachel and Jessica.
This is episode 180. And we are doing something a little bit different today because instead of having like an outline of what we want to say and all the points that we want to hit, we are doing more of an on-the-spot episode where we have our list of things to talk about, but we don't actually know what we're going to talk. Like, we don't know what we're going to say about them yet.
No. So the episode is all about myths of sensory processing disorder, or SPD. And we had, like, these random myths that we found a while ago, put them into this Google Doc, and forgot about them. Pulled them up today, haven't looked at them yet, but we are going to rattle these off and then have a casual conversation about each of these different myths and see what we think about them.
These are all just our opinions based on our experience, our research. So if you don't agree with us, that's okay. You don't have to agree with us, but just have an open mind and I guess enjoy the conversation.
Yeah. If you want to chime in on this topic with us, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Send us a DM after you listen, screenshot, tag us, and then send us your thoughts and say, whoa, I don't know about this, or yeah, I totally agree with this.
So the first one is there's no such thing as sensory processing issues.
Wow.
I'm curious if anyone has ever had that said to them before.
Wow. Who would say that?
Maybe a pediatrician?
Oh, I hope not.
Maybe like someone from an older generation?
Yeah, like a grandma or a grandpa. And as the parent, you're trying to explain to them why your child is doing something quirky. And it's like, they've got these sensory processing issues. And grandma and grandpa are like, they didn't have that when I was a kid. It's not real.
There you go. So then how do you explain it to them? You say, look, we all have a sensory system. We all have sensory needs. And maybe you just go into this deep dive explanation of sensory. Maybe you send them to our podcast.
I am curious if anyone has had this happen to them and how you explain it to them. Because I feel like if it's a family member, it can really cause a lot of, I don't know, like harshness in the family,
sure.
You know?
Yeah, a lot of difficulties.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a word that I'm thinking of. It's like headbutting. Can you see, can you guys see what my hands are doing?
Yeah, butting heads for sure.
Yeah.
A lot of arguments. I was just thinking even in just everyday life of talking to people and meeting people and telling them what we do and having to explain sensory processing challenges and why we do what we do, we need like a 2-minute elevator pitch.
Yeah, no kidding. I always like to say that everyone has a sensory system, so everyone can have challenges with their sensory system. Mm-hmm. It's your nervous system. We all have it. We all have the potential of something going awry. Mm-hmm. And not even necessarily awry. It's like we all just have our quirks, yep. You know? Sure I have do. So many.
We all do.
Yeah.
And they change throughout our life.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Number two.
That is a myth.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So wait, in the show Mythbusters, would we say this myth is busted?
Oh, yeah. We just busted that myth.
Right? Is that the proper terminology?
Sure. I don't know. I haven't watched that show in a really long time.
I don't know if the myth is busted. That means that it's true or if it's false.
This myth is a myth. It's not true.
Okay. Myth is false.
We're going to say that the myth has been busted. We busted that myth to show that it's not true.
Okay.
Okay. Number two. Kids with sensory processing issues are sensitive to everything.
That's not even true at a little bit. What about the sensory seekers? They're like, go, 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 go. I want every type of input I can get.
Yeah.
They're not sensitive at all.
No. I think that some individuals with sensory processing challenges are more sensitive to certain sensory inputs. But you can have someone who's sensitive to auditory input, and yet they seek out tactile input.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can be on both sides.
Wow. That's funny. I feel like there is kind of a stigma out there about like sensitive kiddos, and they just have unique sensory systems.
Then going along with that, not all kids who are sensitive to things have sensory processing disorder.
Exactly.
So it goes both ways.
They could have some anxiety, some retained primitive reflexes. Mm-hmm. There'd be a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
I just don't like it when people like put a label on these kids and just put them in a box and say, you have this, so you're going to act this way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yep.
There's no coming back from it. There's no changing it.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Okay. Myth busted.
Okay.
Number three. Kids with sensory processing issues are overreacting.
Ooh, okay. So this is where you would see a child have a big reaction to something and you say, oh no, they're just overreacting. They need to just learn how to deal with it better.
Or the parent just needs to discipline them better.
Ooh, that one's triggering you guys.
Yeah, that's so frustrating.
That one, yeah,
I hate it when people blame the parents for the way that the kiddos' sensory needs are.
So that myth has already been busted, right? That was a myth a long time ago, mm-hmm. with autism, and that it was caused by parenting issues.
Yeah.
So that myth has already been busted, but I do think that stigma is still around for mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah, you just need to discipline your child more so they aren't so naughty or the bad kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh
my gosh. These kids that overreact just need better discipline. They just need to learn how to deal with it better. They need to calm down. When in reality, they are overreacting or having a big reaction because their sensory system is overloaded.
Mm-hmm. They just need a sensory break.
Yep, they need a sensory break. They need a sensory diet.
They need empathy, too. Have you guys listened to our episode on empathy? Yeah? Okay, great. Cool.
If not, that's okay. You can do it after this one. Okay, so did we bust that myth?
Yeah, they're definitely not overreacting. I mean, they could, that definitely could be a factor, but
sure.
I feel like there's always an underlying reason as to why they are overreacting.
Absolutely.
I hate that word overreacting. They're having a big reaction.
Right. Yeah, let's change the verbiage. Change how you say it.
God, these myths are terrible.
As we laugh about them.
We have to have a sense of humor when we talk about this stuff.
Oh, no. Okay, what are we on?
Number four.
Okay.
Sensory processing issues only impact 5 senses.
Now, you all know that that's not true because mm-hmm. we actually have 8 senses, not mm-hmm. just 5.
I feel like in elementary school, when they taught us about our senses, they taught us such a disservice.
Oh, 100%.
You know, like maybe we need to go into the curriculum in elementary school and change it and say, let's teach them about the 8 senses that all these kids have. And those 3 hidden senses make such a huge impact on their ability to get through their day. They need to know about that.
They need to know about vestibular input. They need to know about proprioceptive input, heavy work that's calming. And then they need to know about interoception so they can understand how their body feels and how their body works and processes and digests and all the things.
I feel like if these kiddos are set up with success for the tools to help them regulate their bodies based on their sensory needs and they understand it, they'll be so much more inclined to try and to learn about it and to be open to, I don't know, trying these different activities mm-hmm. and having like a toolbox.
Yeah, absolutely. Even our kids who maybe don't have sensory processing challenges, who are more neurotypical, even those kids need to learn about these three hidden senses and need to learn about how activities impact their body and their feelings and how to use those tools, just like a child who does have SPD.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this myth is busted.
Yes.
We do have podcast episodes on the proprioceptive system, the vestibular system, and the interoceptive system. So make sure that you go back and check those out if you were like, I have no idea what those words even mean. We'll explain it to you.
Yep. Okay, number five, kids with sensory processing issues just need to toughen up.
Yeah, just toughen up.
This kind of goes along with number two about these kids being sensitive to everything, right? If they're sensitive, they just need to toughen up.
This is a little bit judgmental of me to say, but I feel like it's kind of a dad thing to say to a kid.
Especially to boys.
Yes. Like Daniel has said that to Trip before, and I'm like, eh.
Yeah. Oh, I for
There's
sure.
Other things we
I'm sure that I've said something similar to Logan before, because that is kind of the stereotype for boys and men. And I think that's changing a lot in today's world. Mm-hmm. But just overall, why can't kids or boys or any kids be sensitive and
have feelings
and cry? Like, that's totally fine. We don't need to toughen up. We need to just find tools to use to help us feel better.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's crazy.
We could keep going on that one.
I know. I have a lot of thoughts on that, but
maybe a different episode.
Yeah. We could probably do a whole episode on that.
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
Okay. Did we bust that one?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Hey, everyone. We got to take a quick minute and share some exciting news with you.
We are doing a brand new challenge that starts in January.
We're calling it the 30-Day Primitive Reflex Challenge.
We're going to focus on four of the common primitive reflexes. Each week will be a different primitive reflex, and we're going to show you different activities to complete.
The challenge will be hosted on a private Instagram account, and it's only $5 to join.
We're going to have demo videos. You're going to get freebies. It's going to be on Instagram. So we're also going to have stories and live videos. It's going to be amazing.
Yes. You'll also get a special discount for our full Primitive Reflex course after you've completed the 30-day challenge with us.
So since you're ready to sign up and join us for this challenge in January, you can go to the link in the show notes or go to our Instagram at All Things Sensory Podcast and join via the link in bio.
Okay, let's get back to the episode. Number six, kids with sensory processing issues lack self-control.
Okay.
Interesting.
So is it a lack of self-control or is it just not having learned the tools to improve self-control? Because we all have the capacity to have self-control, right?
Yeah.
But we just have to learn how to do it.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that tool doesn't necessarily always come naturally. We have to teach the kids to control their body, and we have to model what self-control looks like. So if a parent themselves has their own sensory processing challenges, emotional regulation issues, they blow up, they have a short fuse, the kiddo is probably going to learn those same coping strategies as well. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that we're teaching them the right tools to have self-control.
And then I think the other side of that is that nobody's perfect, and Sorry. You know, we're all going to lose our cool at some point. We're all going to have challenges with self-control, and it's just a matter of how we react to that and how we learn from it to do better next time.
And I think that's okay to lose your cool and to get frustrated in front of your kiddo, and they can see you have feelings and you can process your feelings. And then if you make a mistake and you mess up, talk about that and say, man, I really messed up. I should have realized that I was in the red zone and not yelled at you. I'm sorry. I hope you can forgive me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talk to them about it for sure. Yeah. So I just think kids with sensory processing challenges, SPD, they don't lack self-control. They maybe lack the necessary tools to improve their self-control, and it's our job to teach them.
And they could lack self-awareness.
Yes.
I think that is part of it. Yeah. And that lack of self-awareness definitely contributes to poor self-control. But I think there's an underlying reason. I don't think that the sensory processing issues are the reason why. I think that it's a whole bundle of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it all goes hand in hand. And we can't put them in a box, like you already said. We can't put them in a box and say, oh, they just lack self-control because of their SPD.
Mm-hmm.
No, let's figure out a way to help them.
Let's work on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that one's busted.
Yep, for sure.
I just like saying that.
I know. Okay, number 7, sensory processing issues are a form of autism spectrum disorder.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So here's my thought. I believe that kiddos, adults, people, whoever it is who has autism, they definitely have a higher chance of having sensory processing challenges. They go hand in hand. But I wouldn't at all say that sensory processing issues are a form of autism. I think they're completely different.
Yeah, I think that you can't say that every person who has sensory processing disorder also has autism.
Or every person with autism has sensory processing disorder.
They definitely can go hand in hand, mm-hmm. but it's not, if it's you like, have one, you always have the other.
What came first, the chicken or the egg?
Oh man, I hate that question.
Right? But I mean, it's a valid question. Mm-hmm. Is a kiddo born with autism and then they develop the sensory challenges because of that? Or are they born with sensory processing challenges and then they develop autism because of that?
Or should we just continue to keep them separate and say, if somebody has a diagnosis of autism, they may have sensory processing challenges.
They may have a diagnosis of sensory processing challenges as well.
Yeah, they might. But they don't have to.
No.
And vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Busted.
Okay, one more. This is number 8. Sensory processing issues is just another name for ADHD.
Oh.
Rachel doesn't like that one. I don't like that one either. I am, as of this recording, currently almost finished with an ADHD continuing ed course that I've been taking. It's like 20 hours long.
Oh my gosh.
I've just been muddling through it. It's really good. But it's been really, really eye-opening and really great. And I've got a lot of strategies and we'll probably do an episode after I finish. But I definitely don't agree with this one. ADHD is its own beast.
Yeah. I do think ADHD can be misdiagnosed as sensory processing challenges or sensory processing disorder.
For sure.
In certain cases. If you're not looking at all of the pieces, mm-hmm. you know?
And I think that a child with ADHD definitely struggles with sensory processing mm-hmm. just because of the way their brain and their body works.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I think it's just like number 7, you can't categorize them together all the time.
No, I think that when we start lumping these diagnoses together, we just get in a mess and they just need to be kept separate. And we need to address each of these different diagnoses uniquely and how they're supposed to be addressed.
Well, and, you know, we need to look at the child as a whole and not just look at their symptoms, but look at the underlying cause, right? We have an episode mm-hmm. on that entire topic of looking at the whole child mm-hmm. instead of just the symptoms and putting a Band-Aid on the symptom, putting a diagnosis on the symptoms mm-hmm. and saying, oh, well, that's that.
And that's how you're going to be for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah. Putting them in a box.
Yeah. Just using a diagnosis as an excuse is frustrating. Mm-hmm. It's frustrating when I'll hear people use that verbiage. And it's like, no, you have a diagnosis. Okay. Now we know how we can help you and mm-hmm. what we can do to make a difference and help you thrive. So let's put the work in and make it happen.
Yeah.
Okay. Busted.
Okay, I'm super curious. I'm really interested to hear y'all's feedback on this episode and what we talked about, whether you agree or disagree, whether you have additional thoughts on these different myths. We will link the website that we got these myths from in the show notes, so you can go check it out and see where we got these from.
I also think it's important to recognize that we're all adults and we can have conversations about disagreeing. And I don't think that is a bad thing to disagree.
No.
I think we're all entitled to our own opinions and our own beliefs and thoughts, and having honest, open, friendly conversations about disagreeing is healthy.
Yeah. So if we can have this conversation without getting mad at each other and saying, nope, you're wrong, I'm not going to talk about it because you're wrong, I'm right. Mm-hmm. You know, if we can have open conversation, be like, oh, that's an interesting point of view. Let me think about that.
For sure.
And, you know, maybe I'll keep my point of view or maybe I'll change my point of view based on what you said.
Maybe the whole world should just listen to this episode and realize that.
Just share this with everyone you know.
Okay. Before we let y'all go, we do have two questions for this week's episode we'd like to answer.
Yep. Okay. So one of these questions came from a DM and the other one came from, was a question posted on one of our posts in Instagram. So the first question, this was a very long question, so we shortened it down. Mm-hmm. And the gist of it was, how do I help my child when I, the parent, have my own sensory challenges?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's almost like the oxygen mask thought, the airplane. Like, you have to put your own oxygen mask on before you can put your child's oxygen mask on. Because mm-hmm. if you die, you can't take care of your child, right? That was very intense, but
it's true.
If you can't take care of yourself, then how can you take care of your child? And I truly believe that self-care, however you see it, is very important. And once you take care of yourself and get help for your own sensory needs, then you can really start to help your child thrive even more.
Yeah. And then when this question came up, my first thought was our friend Danielle, mm-hmm. She's an occupational therapist. We interviewed her. She has a child. She has, she herself says she has her own sensory challenges. And so my first thought was send her to Danielle because Danielle mm-hmm. has some amazing resources. And so she has an Instagram. It's mornings.with.ann.ot.mom. We'll link that in the show notes, but she's a really great resource for a parent who's struggling with their own sensory challenges, who's also trying to help their child with sensory processing challenges. That's a good one to try.
Yes, definitely. Okay, next question. How much do you think toe walking originates from sensory needs?
We have an episode on toe walking. Mm-hmm. I think it's our W sitting and toe walking episode. Mm-hmm. So that would be a good one to kind of check out.
I think it depends on the kiddo. I think a couple of things that could be connected. If it's a visual challenge, a visual processing challenge, and the kiddo needs their vision to be brought back down, if they're up and all over the place, putting a hat on them, bringing their visual gaze down, that could be a potential tool for toe walking. So in that case, it would be possibly sensory related.
I also think oftentimes kiddos who are hypersensitive to tactile input mm-hmm. can exhibit toe walking because they're trying to get away from input from their body, mm-hmm. or maybe they're seeking proprioceptive input. So when you mm-hmm. go up on your toes, you're activating a lot of muscles and putting more pressure on some different joints. And so you're getting some proprioceptive feedback there as well.
And then another thought could be if the child has GI issues, gut issues, digestive issues, constipation, they're up on their toes, holding everything, they're holding their bowel movements, they're really tight. That could be a potential cause as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think every child is different.
So some kids just toe walk because they toe walk. It's just idiopathic toe walking. There's no rhyme or reason.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So really you have to look at the child. You have to see what the underlying causes are. What are that specific child's sensory needs mm-hmm. and go from there.
Yeah. And I think it needs to be addressed as early as possible.
Yes, because there can be issues that arise from chronic toe walking.
Yeah. And if you don't address it early and they continue to toe walk and toe walk and toe walk, you're going to have a 10-year-old who walks on their toes and they literally cannot go down on their heels.
Yeah, and they might have to have surgery. Mm-hmm. Like we've seen that before.
Yeah. So toe walking, it's a tough one.
Okay. That's it for today. That's all we got for you.
That's it. Kind of a different episode. Let us know your thoughts. Leave a review on iTunes. Just pop in there and leave us a note. Leave us some stars if you feel inclined. We would appreciate that.
Share with your friends and your family, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, bye. Thank you so much for listening to All Things Sensory by Harkla. If you want more information on anything we mentioned in the show, head over to harkla.co/podcast to get all of the show notes.
We always have the show notes and links, plus full transcripts to make following along as easy as possible for everyone. If you have follow-up questions, the best place to ask those is in the comments on the show notes or message us on our Instagram account, which is @Harkla_family. If you just search Harkla, you'll find us.
Like we mentioned before, our podcast listeners get 10% off their first order at Harkla, whether it's for one of our digital courses, one of our sensory swings. The discount code SENSORY will save you 10%. That code is SENSORY. Head over to harkla.co/sensory to use that code right now so you don't forget.
We're so excited to work together to help create confident kids all over the world and work towards a happier, healthier life.
All right, we'll talk to you guys next week. Just a friendly reminder, this is general information related to occupational therapy, pediatrics, and sensory integration. We do not know you or your child, therefore we do not know any specific needs. Therefore, you should always refer back to your pediatrician and occupational therapist for more information.